the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. We often say, as we read any portion from this book, the Song of Solomon, that one has to be careful to trace who the speaker is, because there's such a contrast in even in one chapter, one or the other is speaking. We have no such burden today. It does not need me to tell you whom the speakers are in these two verses. And as we are reminded in this book, there are, for the most part, a conversation between two people. And they are the bride and the bridegroom. They are Christ and a poor sinner. And the language may seem strange, some of it. And I'm sure of this, that where it is not understood, may the Holy Spirit so teach us the meaning and interpretation and purpose of such words. But as I said, for the most part, it is between the bride and the bridegroom. It is in these two verses. Earlier in the verse 5, we have that conversation between the bride and the church. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. But then we come to these two verses. And what a precious two verses they are. How they reveal to us the exercise of the soul of a poor sinner, of those who constitute the bride of Christ. The inquiry first that is made in these words, and to whom the inquiry is made, and the relationship between the inquirer and the person that she speaks to, the question that is on her lips and in her heart, the desire that flows from within, that speaks of her condition and her exercise. So all these things we may look at and meditate upon, as the Holy Spirit may now help us. And let it be, let the Lord appear in this, that it might so find an echo in our hearts, your hearts and mine, as you sit in the Lord's house this morning. Now then, there is, of course, that preparation, as it were, for these verses. The bride, the sinner, the church of Christ, individually, collectively, all shall come into this pathway. All shall be found in this inquiring state, in this desiring pathway, that which shall be for the soul's profit and benefit, and for blessing. Now, the preparation then is this, that they are nothing more than poor sinners, nothing to commend themselves. However you read the first six verses, she cannot, the bride, cannot commend herself unto Christ for anything. She's nothing in her own eyes. She's nothing. She's poor, she's destitute. In and of herself, she's not at all any way of merit or attraction unto Christ for the blessings that she seeks for. She's made to feel her standing as a sinner. She looks within. You know, my friends, and so will you and I, if we're taught by grace, we look within. What will we see? That hymn that we sometimes sing here comes to mind. You know, that's a lovely hymn that says, "Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth." There is then, tell me, this desire, this exercise, this question that must be put out a question. There is this hunger, this thirst, this drawing towards Christ for the answer to her soul. Tell me. You know, there's that lovely hymn we sing at the ordinance sometimes. "Lord, in thy house I read this room, and venturing hard, behold I come. But tell me, can there be amongst thy children room for me?" Well, this is the same question, and then it is addressed to Christ. "O thou whom my soul loveth." How did you come to love Christ? How did you come to love Christ? My friends, because he loved you. Oh, if it's in your heart a love to Christ now. Love, as I've often said, love in the want of him. Desire in the want of him. You're not blessed, you would say, with what the Lord's people are talk about. The presence of the Lord, the revelation of the Lord, the pardon of sins. You're not blessed with those blessings, you would say. But in the heart and upon the spirit, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Oh, what a blessed communion there is between a sinner and a saviour. He is one whom her soul loveth. And that is why she goes out after him in desire. This is where she would be. This is the person that, shall we say, is the most precious person to her soul. And she seeks him. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth." My friends, we didn't love him in unregeneracy. He was a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we beheld him, my friends, and when we do, we beheld him in the word of God, or we beheld him in the preaching of the gospel, but there was nothing attractive of Christ to our souls at all. But then, my friends, when God begins a work by his Spirit in our soul, it is for this purpose, that the Lord Jesus Christ may become the one thing needful and the altogether lovely. And now this soul can see a loveliness in Christ that he never, or she or he never saw before. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest." I thought of this yesterday. I've had this word on my mind throughout yesterday. And I thought my mind went to so many ways in which this could be realized by the Lord's people. First of all, you may say, well, it speaks of the Lord's house. It speaks of his people. Dear friends, it speaks of where Christ is. That's what it speaks of. Where thou feedest. You know, indeed it speaks of the gathering together of the Lord's people in his sanctuary. But what is the gathering of the Lord's people if the Lord isn't there? You know, there's plenty of sanctuaries, if we may broaden the term, and there's plenty of places of worship, and there's plenty of gatherings round the word of God. I say this word, my friends, as the Church of Christ, indeed it is. But there is two things which are necessary. That where a soul shall be that shall desire for Christ must indeed be proved. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Where his flock is, he is. My friends, that's where you would want to be, and that's where I'd want to be if we're under divine grace, and if Christ is the altogether lovely to our soul, if it is out of desire, and it is to my mind a sense of urgency that the blessing may be known. My friends, it's not just to gather with his people, it's to gather where Christ is. What is the place? My friends, what is the building? We've got a lovely chapel. It's in order, it's in good order, and all that, and that's right and proper. But my friends, the house of God is where God is. The place of worship is where Christ is. The gatherings of his people is one thing, but he gathers with his people. And that is the question that is being asked of the bride, of the seeking soul, of the church here. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And there's something else, my friends, we must never lose sight of here, and that is where he is, there is food. Where his flock gather, thy flock. They are a purchased people. They are a people who are blessed with eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. All this flock, and it sounds like a sweeping statement, but it is a true statement. This flock is going to heaven. My friends, don't make any mistake about it. The flock of Christ is heaven bound. And it is going to glory. It is to be with Christ one day, which is far better. This is where this dear soul wanted to be. This is the inquiring spirit of a seeking soul. This is the pathway of the church. This is a people that now who is in love with Christ, because Christ is in love with them. This is a people who find Christ to be precious, and whom they to Christ are precious. Now, my friends, it is also a place where he will be and his flock will be, and it is where there's food. A child of God must have food, spiritual food. You know, my friends, where you are in your right place, in a house of God, there will be food. If you're in your wrong place, there will be no food. But there is another side too, we must remember. Who maketh thee to differ in this respect? My friends, who made you to hunger? Who made you to hunger? Never had I sought thy name, never felt the inward flame, had not love first touched my heart, given the painful, pleasant spot. In that hymn that we sang as introduction to this service, there was that wonder of wonders communicated by the good hymn writer, Mr. Watts. While all our hearts and all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cry with thankful tongues, Lord, why was I a guest? Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perish in our sin. My friends, if you have in your heart a desire for Christ, your desire for the things of Christ, and if you have a soul that is in exercise, my friends, you'll have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Well, my friends, what a mercy then it is if you and I have this exercise here. And that we're found here even on this Lord's Day with that inquiring spirit within, with that desire that which is as a question which is put before the Lord Jesus. And it is this too, that the dear soul itself must have food. You can go to chapel, you know, and when you're not hungry, well, there won't be any food because there's no desire. In unregenerate days, we went to chapel, some of us, and we never hungered. We went because it was duty so to do. We feared perhaps our parents, lest we should resist and go away. Or there was something that would cause embarrassment to us because we weren't found there. We didn't want somebody to question us on a Monday why we weren't in the Lord's house on a Sunday. But if grace has touched our soul, my friends, you'll come to his house hungry. And you'll want to know too, the food for your soul which is beneficial, comforting, confirming, strengthening, and blessing. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. The Church of Christ. Now, lest you think, and I don't believe you will, but lest you think that the place where he shall feed his flock is only the house of God. My friends, the Lord has raised up a means of grace, and as the desire is found, and as the drawing of the Spirit is within us, we meet together in his house as often as we can. And if your soul is in health, then it will be at times hungry and thirsty. It is where Christ is. You remember the promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That is the promise we plead. And that is where he will be. That is where we would be. Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. But I have to say this, my friends, there are other spots and places. And the Lord knows the spots and places in experience of the Lord's people. I don't want a religion, my friends, that runs around this building. I don't want such a religion as that. I don't want a place in my heart where I know that there and there alone is where the Lord will be. My friends, he will be where he will be. And he will bring his people to them places, in their experiences, where he will bless their soul. I don't want a chapel religion, my friends. I want a real one. Because there are places, and the Lord knows, because there are appointed places where he meets with his people. And he meets with them one by one. Here is the exercise, the good exercise, a gracious exercise, my friends, where a child of grace desires to be where the people of God is. Doesn't want to be anywhere else, wouldn't be anywhere else, because that's the place where the Lord is. But I know this with experience, and you know with experience, I trust, that there are other places where he meets with his people. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Are there not places in your pathway, can you not look back, some of you, to spots and places where the Lord's drawn near? The most unlikely places. We could elaborate, of course, we could describe this place, that place, but you know, a house of prayer is indeed the place where he's promised to be, but he's not bound to the house of prayer. A bed of affliction, a hospital ward, going about your business, in the home, in the night seasons upon your bed, in all these places and many more. The Lord knows, my friends, he has appointed places and appointed times where he will meet with his people. A sinner and a saviour will come together, and for this purpose, that their soul may be fed. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And it is quite relevant that it is spoken about at noon, the hottest time of the day. a place may be found in the appointed ways of God, my friends, where it is to the soul of the waiting one, as it is a refuge for the oppressed, and for a place of comfort and of shelter from the heat and from the enemy and from those things that oppress and distress the soul. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest. Let me say this also. Her condition didn't bar her. You know, she looked at herself. The church looks at itself. A soul that's under grace has indeed views of itself, and it is bad views of itself. Sometimes it gets to such a pitch, you know, when we look at ourselves and almost would think that we are or cannot be found amongst the people of God because of our indwelling sin and our inclination to sin and a sinful heart and a rebellious heart. Past sins will be presented to you as those things that would hinder any divine communion. My friends, what she was didn't bar her from asking the question. What she was in her own eyes was one thing. What she was in the eyes of Christ was another. But it didn't bar her from asking the question. It didn't prevent her from desiring. In fact, my friends, the more you know of your own heart, if you're a sinner, that is, if you're aware of your sinnership, the more you know of your own heart, and the Lord so will be pleased to sanctify that knowledge, will draw you closer unto Christ. Remember the case of the prodigal. Everyone knows the story of the prodigal. But you know how he went away from his father's house and spent his substance in riotous living. And he began to be in want. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare?" His sin didn't prevent him. Satan will try to prevent. The natural state of man will try to prevent. My friends, but his exercise was this, that he must get back to his father's house and to his love and to all the benefits that were found in his father's house. And that didn't prevent him. My friends, true repentance, true confession is found in the soul of the prodigal. I will arise and go to my father. How did he come back? He came back unworthy, but he came back. My friends, how did he come back? In want, but he still came back. He didn't wait till he got a little bit better. He didn't accumulate a little bit more finance so that he came back a bit more respectable. My friends, some of the sinners that we meet with, I have to say this, and I say it in the right spirit, I hope, are respectable sinners. These sinners that are spoken of here are ruined sinners, are black sinners, are totally devoid of comfort in themselves, and they hunger and thirst for that which will put them into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whose comforts that they desire, who shall be fed with the finest of the wheat and shall be blessed with the blessings of the flock of slaughter. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. I remember in early days, and maybe this is a word that isn't out of place, but you know, when God begins to deal with you, you know, and brings you into trouble of soul, there is only one, there is amongst desires, of course, this desire: the Lord would hasten the Lord's day. The Lord will hasten the time when, or perhaps in the weak times, when you can be found with his people under the gospel. Because he'll teach you this, you know, what you need is in Christ. And he'll teach you this, that gospel that is preached, that gospel which has as a substance Jesus Christ and him crucified, this is the food and drink that you'll want. If you're a sinner, you'll need saving. If you feel to be an outcast of Israel, you need that restoring mercy. If you feel to be black within by reason of sins that are past, you know, my friends, this, that nothing but the blood of Christ can wash. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest. We may sing in our hymn tonight this word. The sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. O may thy house be my abode, and all my work be praised. There will I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. Previous to that it says this: thy hand in sight of all my foes does still my table spread. My cup with blessings overflows, thy oil anoints my head. That is where you'll be found. That is how you will come. You'll come just as you are. Where the flock of slaughter is, you'll come as needy and poor and as destitute as the Holy Spirit will teach you, but you'll still come. Tell me the place. The desire will be that the Lord will show you the place of mercy, that the Lord will show you where his flock is. Where is the flock of slaughter? My friends, I want to be very careful. I want to be very reverent. My friends, it's bound up with Christ in that covenant which is ordered in all things and sure. It is safe, it is secure, it is in the heart of Christ. It is in a covenant which is ordered in all things and sure and can never, never be removed. This is where the flock is. You see their safety, you see their security. You see them in a path of blessing. You see them in the ways of God, and you see them as travelling home to God. And you see them, my friends, as one of the most blessed people on the face of the earth, the Church of Christ, blessed with blessings that the world can never enter into, and are all free blessings, they're all free mercies, and they're all free favours. They are the condescending mercy of God. They are a people whom God hath chosen unto himself. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. This is the church, this is the flock. And you will feel to be like an outsider in that flock. Your desire will be that he may draw you nearer. You know, there's a wonderful word in, if I can find it, I've not got the right Bible, all my Bibles are the same. But I can find things better in my own Bible. Or where it is located in that, in my Bible. But my friends, the comfort of the Lord's people is to be where they are, in the 8th chapter of the Proverbs. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. What a blessed people then. Well, this is this people that's in this text. This is the soul, the seeking soul, who writes hard things against themselves, but who within their soul is about need of Christ. Where there is feeding, my friends, there is union. Where there is union, there is communion. You know, a soul that hungers and thirsts for the things of God, a soul that desires the company of the people of God, a soul that desires to be where Christ is, not only needs and will be supplied food and drink to the soul, but they'll seek that union and they'll seek that communion. You remember what Ruth said in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. my friends. That is what they wanted. That is the place they want. It's not only the company of the Lord's people, but it is the company of the Lord himself. This is the place where they want to be then. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Where is it, my friends? We must look at two things before we come to the end this morning. Where it is that they will rest. I know we've quoted here, may I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. But there is a place of rest. But then again, we must also look at this. What is it they feed on? My friends, you'll find this. If you hunger for the things of God, nothing else will satisfy. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. In the Hebrews, we have that word of the apostle. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. In the margin it says a keeping of Sabbaths. Where is it that a child of God finds rest? It's not in this world of sin and woe, that's for sure, isn't it? It's not in this world of sin and woe. Change and decay, and all around I see, O thou who changeth not, abide with me. It is in Christ, my friends, where that rest is. Where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, it's in him. You know, oh, the Lord grant us that grace. The Lord grant us faith. My friends, you can leave all, leave all with him. The very soul, your eternal state, your walk and pathway, and pilgrimage through this world of sin and woe, you can leave it all with him. But on the matter of salvation, that urgent, pressing case that lies within every child of grace, my friends, you'll only find rest concerning that matter in the person and work of Christ Jesus. If you are led into his sufferings, if you are led into his pathway, if you have been made known to you and made over to you an interest in his love and blood, my friends, you can leave your soul there. You can leave your soul for all eternity there. Oh, it is. It's not just the settling down, you know, amongst the people of God. It's the state of your soul, the condition of your soul, and the peace of your soul. And it is of the security of your soul. And Christ is the place. My friends, it is so. You can leave your soul there. It's safe in his hands. And to this point too, my friends, having died for his people, and having rose again for his people, having gone to the end of the law for righteousness' sake, having sealed the covenant with his own precious blood, my friends, every soul that's in Christ is safe. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And then, my friends, you will rest on his word. His word will be your strength and comfort. His promises, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, will be a place of rest. You'll rest upon what he has said. The psalmist in the 119th Psalm said this, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My friends, what else did he say? Remember unto thy servant the word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. My friends, it was his comfort in his affliction. And such precious promises as the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to speak into your soul concerning its eternal salvation. You know, if he said to you what he said to the woman who came to the Pharisee's house, you could rest there. Daughter, go in peace. You can rest there. It's his peace. And what was the peace? It was a peace that passeth all understanding. And what was that peace? It was the forgiveness of sins. You can rest there, my friends. Because the blessings of God, the blessings that flow to the church from God through Christ, are without repentance. There's no change in them. No one can alter it. None can pluck thee from the strength of Israel's hand. Where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, you rest on his word. Those precious truths, you rest on his revelations. Those blessings of times past, those blessings at this time, those seasons of blessing that he's made known, you can rest on them. Oh, they'll be tempted. They'll go in the fire, my friends, but it'll stand the fire, and it'll come out of the fire too. But then we must say this, where thou feedest. What is it they feed on? Well, my friends, they won't feed on chaff. They'll find nothing substantial. Chaff is to be burned up. In one of the prophecies, I think it's the prophecy of Isaiah, the Holy Spirit can, as it were, brings to our remembrance this truth. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? What is the ungodly to the godly? What is to the gracious to the wicked? What is to the lost to the found? My friends, it's like chaff and wheat. But when it comes to spiritual food, my friends, you won't feed on anything else for your soul's profit and good but that which is of Christ. In the, again turning to the parable of the prodigal, he said he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. My friends, what is there a comparison? What could there be a greater comparison to the food which was in his father's house to the husks that the swine eat? What could be? My friends, what could you describe out of this world of sin and woe that will be beneficial to your soul in comparison with a word from the Lord or a little crumb from the master's table? Oh, these are blessings indeed. These are soul blessings. These are mercies, my friends, which will stand you in good stead all the days of your life and upon which you can die upon. The feeding of the flock. The exhortation, you know, in the first of Peter was to his servants, and it was this: feed the flock of God which is among you. First epistle of Peter and chapter 5. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. My friends, is a very deep exercise when the Lord lays those words upon a servant of God. His responsibility, his commission, his pathway is to feed the flock. Now, where does he get his food from? The eternal source, my friends, from heaven. That's where he gets his food from. And who is the giver of that food? It is the Holy Ghost. And if the flock of slaughter is to be fed, it is to be fed with food from heaven. You know, we often describe the ordinance table as the table of the Lord. My friends, the means of grace is the table of the Lord. And the spiritual food here, the word of God is here in this place, the spiritual food. The Holy Spirit direct you and I into this glorious truth, my friends. And it speaks of Christ from Genesis to Revelations. And that is what you and I shall feed on if we are hungry. Give me Christ, the poet said, or else I die. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Go back to some of them places that some of you have known. Spots and places in your pathways, afflictions, hospital wards, times of deep sorrow, great trials, trials that you thought were going to sink you. My friends, go back to those places and many other places which the Lord is pleased to lead you in and to guide you and to appoint for you and to deliver you from as well. my friends, has he not come and sanctified the path to your soul, that it has been profitable to you? You ask a person in the world who is in affliction, and ask him or her whether it's been any profit, and he would think you were speaking a foreign language. But you talk to a child of God about the deep paths that they walk in, the deep trials and the fires that come against them. You consider, my friends, the path of affliction, or the loss, or the cross that you're called to bear, the bereaving paths, and so on. My friends, there's a multitude of them. But the Lord comes in the midst of these from time to time in his people's lives and pathways, where he makes them a blessing to their soul. There's just but one comes to mind, or two comes to mind. My friends, the dear apostle laid in prison, and he wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said, he reminded them of a sacred truth. I would not that she should lose sight of this, he said, that it was for the furtherance of the gospel. And I thought then for a moment of the of those Hebrew children in the fire that was sent to kill them, that killed their captives by the very heat of that fire. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, and there was one with them like unto the Son of God. My friends, this is the place, these are the places, not only in the means of grace. And there are other spots and places, appointed times and seasons in the lot of God's dear children, where he's calls them to be, where they shall be fed, where they shall prosper, where they shall profit, where they shall benefit, and where they shall come out of it, my friends, to the honour and glory of their God, and to their soul's eternal benefit. Tell me, O thou, who is where Christ is, you see. Christ and a sinner together, my friends, is a most blessed spot. And what else lies around them in the pathway, what trial it may be, what affliction it may be, it matters not in that respect. My friends, it's a place of blessing because the Lord's there. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now, you wouldn't be, my friends, I'm not asking questions, I'm saying. It's a truth, is it not, to a hungry soul, what, to turn aside? Well, it would be like death, wouldn't it? To turn aside from the rock of your salvation, to turn away from where God has a means of grace. Do you know what Boaz, who was a type of Christ, said to the gleaner Ruth? Go not to glean in another field. My friends, you can't glean in another field and feed off the truth, and you can't be blessed with the truth in another field. The ways of grace and the ways of mercy, the house of the church of our God, this is the place where the hungry shall feed. Why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Why should I be, my friends, to turn aside from where food and drink is of a spiritual nature, to turn aside from where the great shepherd of the sheep is, Jesus Christ the righteous? Well, my friends, it's like turning from light to darkness. You know how often it seems like that when you go from Jerusalem to Jericho, my friends, you go from light to darkness. You go from paths of pleasantness and paths of peace into times of darkness, distress, and trouble to one's soul. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? One thing more. We'll conclude the service then. My friends, it is an appointed place. There's many, and let us just go back for a moment to the Lord's house. There are many places which are the Lord's house. But I do believe this, my friends, that there is but one place for his people. It is where he directs them, it is where he feeds them, it is where he establishes them, and it will be there where he keeps them. You know, in this, I suppose now for many years, we have the means to roam. We have the means to roam. My friends, there's an old expression for where I come from. Down in Kent, you know, you find these characters who go from house to house, and they're nothing more like gypsies, you know. They've got no foundation. They've got no home. But a child of God's got a home. And that is a place where he should be fed and watered, where he should be blessed, where he should be strengthened and encouraged. But it's where is Christ is, that's where it is. When the two come together, it's a sacred spot, my friends. A sinner and a saviour is a sacred spot. That's where it is. But we must close then. Oh, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Amen. Thank you.